Alleluia, Christ is risen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also you.
Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into your one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Acts. One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But when her owner saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 97 responsively. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad.
Clouds
goes before the Lord, burning up enemies on every side.
Lightning.
The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. Confounded be all who worship and worship carved images and the light of the false gods. Bow down before the Lord, all you gods. You are the Lord and the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Light dawns for the righteous and the joy for the honest of heart.
Rejoice.
A reading from Revelations. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendants of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of Lord Jesus be with you, with all the saints. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus prayed, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me before, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and those know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love in which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's put this gospel reading into context. In our liturgical year, we're coming to the end of the Easter season. Last Thursday, we celebrated Ascension, and next Sunday, we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to send. But our gospel reading takes us back in Jesus' time, in Jesus' life, before Pentecost, before Ascension, before, in fact, even the crucifixion. This reading that we had tonight is back to Maundy Thursday, when Jesus gathers his disciples around him for a final meal. He washes their feet, setting an example for them. He shares bread and wine with them and gives them the commandment to love one another. And he tries to help them prepare for the time that he would leave them. That, in some ways, is an impossible task. Those disciples around that table can't comprehend what's happening. Their confusion is probably such that they aren't even hearing the words that Jesus is speaking. They're afraid. They're afraid. Now remember, this is Maundy Thursday, before Jesus is arrested, before the crucifixion. There is anxiety in that room, and they're afraid. And Jesus promises, tries to help them, to calm, to comfort. He promises that he will send the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the advocate, who will come to them and will remind them of everything that he had said, everything that he had taught them. And then he does one more thing. He prays for them. And I find it amazing in this passage that Jesus doesn't only pray for them, for the people, his disciples sitting around that table on that Thursday night. Jesus doesn't only pray for them, but he prays for us as well. This prayer that Jesus prays for them and for us is rather complex, convoluted, in fact. I find myself getting lost in it, and sometimes even forgetting that it's a prayer. Biblical scholars call this the high priestly prayer. Not only because it's so intense, but in some places, like the part that we read this morning, it's theologically dense. In some ways, this prayer sounds like a commandment. Be united, be one. Or like a teaching, as Jesus is explaining the relationship between himself and the Father. Or maybe we hear more about promises that the disciples will someday be with Jesus where he's going and share in his glory. But at the heart of it, it's none of those things. Not a commandment, not a teaching, not even a promise for things to come. This is, at its heart, a prayer. A prayer of one person praying for another. A prayer of one person, Jesus, praying for those he loves, the disciples, and us. And that's important for us to hear. Jesus is praying for us. Last week when we were at the Synod Assembly, one of the morning sessions, the pastors and the voting delegates got into small groups with their conference, and we were sitting at tables of 8 or 10 people, and we were supposed to share, every person around the table was to share highs and lows, the things that they were proud of, ministries in their congregation that they were proud of, and issues or concerns that were worrying them, anxiety about their own congregation. So we went around the table and each person shared highs and lows. And then we were to pray for the people around the table. So we were all to pray for the person to our right, out loud, around the table again. This time, not a general prayer like God bless Joe and his congregation, but the very particular prayers of that the person had mentioned, the concerns, the cares, the ministries of that congregation, to put that in a form of prayer. So again, we heard those cares, those concerns, and those joys. And it was quite a powerful moment. I'm rather used to praying for people, but not being prayed for myself. And I felt so lifted up, so cared for in that moment, that time of prayer. And that's exactly what Jesus does here. He prays for his disciples. He knows their anxiety and their confusion. He knows they are afraid, and so he prays for them. He knows they're filled with concern and worry, so he prays for them. He knows he will leave them soon, and they will be alone, and so he prays for them. And as he does, whether they understand everything he's saying to them or not, he tells them that they do not have to do everything. They don't have to understand everything. He tells them that he is there to support them, that they are not alone, that they are valued and loved, that their concerns are his concerns, that their anxiety is his as well, and that he loves them and cares for them. This is a powerful moment for those disciples around that table. And the amazing thing in this gospel passage is that Jesus didn't just pray for them in that first century disciples around that table on Maundy Thursday, but Jesus does this for us. Jesus says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, That's us. We are in that long line of people who have been inspired and encouraged to believe by the words and deeds of those original disciples. That's us that Jesus is praying for, asking his Father to bless, to be with, mentioning our prayers, our concerns, our cares. Listen to what Jesus prays for you. He says that all may be one. He prays for our peace. That's Jesus' prayer, that all would be one. One with each other, one with Jesus and the Father, one with ourselves and with all creation. And that being one, that we would have peace. Doesn't every child want to give their mother what she wants on Mother's Day? When I was growing up, we always asked Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day, for Christmas, for your birthday? And we always got the same answer. Peace and quiet. And for my children to get along. Now, you may know that I have two brothers and two sisters. I think we would have been much more successful in giving Mom what she wanted if she'd asked for a box of candy or slippers. Peace and quiet and for the children to get along was a little bit more difficult. I think it's a little more difficult, too, to give Jesus that as well. He wants to give us peace. He wants us to be in unity. He wants us to be at home with him and the Father. And that's what he prays for us. How do you hear that prayer and receive that encouragement and support of that prayer in your own life? How do you hear that prayer for today? Think for a minute about your own life. Where do you need unity today? What needs to be made whole in your life, in your relationships? Where do you need to have more peace? Imagine now Jesus praying for you to have exactly those things. Is there one thing in your life that you would like Jesus to pray for? Is there one thing that you would like to have Jesus really care about in your life? That's the prayer for today, that Jesus is saying to you, I want to know what it is that's causing your care and concern today. What is it that needs unity, that needs to be made whole, that needs special care? Because Jesus is praying for that, for you, specifically. For that thing. Jesus does care for you. That's the good news for today. Jesus cares for you. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be in unity. He wants you to be made whole. He wants you to have peace. Jesus is praying for you. Just say amen.